Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are doing a running back human hand grenade index update. And we're just going to go through them. And we're just going to talk about basically primary starter for 2023, you know, kind of who we're projecting. And then a little bit about the HHG situation, right, who the backups are. Human hand grenades, if you're newer to AOD, is basically the backup running backs that you can throw into a game and they can destroy it, right? So that's where you get the hand grenade aspect of it. And, so that's it. So we'll go down, just do an alphabetical order. I have them listed on the site, so you can check it out right on the site. The running back matrix. I have the primary starter, the backup situation, and then the priority. Some of them are going to change a little bit through the off season. So I'll talk about each one of those kind of individually. We'll just kind of, you know, get an idea of where we're at. Just strategically, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty this time of year. Right? This is a place where, you know, if there's 6, 7, 8 guys drafted in the first 2 days of the draft, right? If there's, you know, 10, 12, 14 guys drafted in the top 150, right? There's a lot of things that can change pretty quickly. And some of these guys can be very fragile, right? So it's just something to kind of keep in mind with these, right? You don't necessarily need to be right on them now. You want to be in the volume business on September 1st, okay? And that there's a bunch of different ways to get there, right? It can be just kind of accumulating guys off the waivers, right, in June, July, August, right? It can be guys in rookie drafts, right? It can be taking some specific shots here and there, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean if you're drafting tomorrow that you need to roster 17 backup running backs, right? Because the odds that you're going to get many of those right is going to be pretty low, especially once you get going out there, right? It's better to probably go that route than to go developmental wide receiver, but still, like, be a little bit, like, just at least strategically conscientious of that fact. And that would sort of manifest itself, right? If you were thinking, okay, Jordan, well, what would you do instead? I would probably try and prioritize tight ends and tight end premium, for example. I might take some shots on guys that maybe are still unsigned, like the Hayden Hurst of the world, that type of tier, right? Again, he's signed with Carolina, but there's some other guys in that tier that Austin Hooper, that's deeper, that I kind of like a little bit, right? Sort of those types of situational shots I'm more interested in now. And then if they don't work out, they don't work out, and you can cut them, and you're going to have to cut people to add running backs anyways along the way, right? Like, that's kind of the difference in the bets that I would make. Again, your backup quarterbacks as well, you know, Gardner Minshew types, right? Holt McCoy, right, might be a week one starter potentially. So those types of situations I would be a little bit more apt to try and hit now than I would just taking a shot on, I don't know, Joshua Kelly, for example, okay, to give you an idea. All right, so let's do a rundown here. James Conner, primary starter in Arizona, pretty clear there. Keonta Ingram, Corey Komet as the backup guys, low priority right now. This feels like an ad. A backup type situation. I'm still in on Conner. I think he's an interesting value, especially a 1 year type player. There's not a ton of guarantees after this year, but top 12 firmly in his range of outcomes this year. Tyler Allgeier in Atlanta. I don't think he's entirely secure, but did have some pretty good ancillary metrics last year in some of the break and tackle stuff. So you're encouraged about that. It's a medium priority type situation. Cordarrelle Patterson's interesting, but has proven to be more of just a runner. It's one of the more curious situation, player development situations where you had this receiver who was a big time kick returner and then converts to be a running back who doesn't really catch passes. It's kind of a weird arc. His whole career is a weird arc, but that one in particular is odd. Medium priority, they just run the ball so much, right? So I'd be in on Patterson sort of deeper with the caveat that it wouldn't shock me if this is a Bijan Robinson team. So That wouldn't shock me at all. J.K. Dobbins, yep, starter. Gus Edwards, I think he's a high-priority backup at this point. He's running back 60 overall at Fantasy Calc at the moment. But even if you look guys ahead of him that I'm not necessarily convinced are better bets, Chuba Hubbard, for example, I'm not convinced that he's a better bet. There's some other guys up in here, like, you know, we'll see what, like, Jerome Ford, is he going to get through? Zonovan Knight, is he going to get through? So, Gus Edwards, yeah, I think he's a better bet to get through than a lot of those guys are. Next up here, we've got James Cook, the primary starter for the Bills. Nyheim Hines, the injury away guy. I still think they're a candidate to add somebody, so low priority at this point. James Cook, again, like, it's going to be interesting if they don't bring somebody in, kind of where you rank him. Again, I was kind of encouraged last year. I thought he could hang a bit. He's running back 27. That feels like a buy right now. I'll be totally honest with you. Running back 27 at Fantasy Calc, guys that are in front of him. Alvin Kamara, Isaiah Pacheco. I mean, I don't think Isaiah Pacheco has more upside than James Cook does. I just don't. David Montgomery, Aaron Jones, Cam Akers, Rashad White. Like, you could see Joe Mixon slipping. You know, Dalvin Cook, we'll see. Dobbins, right? If James Cook gets all the way through, and, like, there's no reason to have him behind J.K. Dobbins. That might be more of an indictment on J.K. Dobbins, okay? But you keep going up, like, Damian Pierce is not insulated. Miles Sanders, what's his ceiling look like? I mean, heck, DeAndre Swift. Like, you could really see a scenario where James Cook's got a lot of guys to leap. That's kind of the problem. But there's not a ton of guys in front of him that you're like, okay, I'm particularly scared of. And I don't know if James Cook's big enough or can hold up. But if it's going to be Nyheim Hines and some day three running back, like, I'm willing to look. And again, like, they have been highly involved with their running backs in the receiving game. They just haven't had a good one, right? So I'm not super concerned about that. Like at least two catches a game has been a pretty solid floor for a guy like Devin Singletary, who hasn't really been that good. So to see three and a half, you know, even four catches a game, right? You could see 60 catches out of James Cook, and that wouldn't surprise me a ton. You know, maybe the rushing ceiling isn't all the way there, but I mean, I think he's cheap at this point. Okay, that would be kind of my point there. Nyheim Hines, low priority backup. Miles Sanders in Carolina, Chuba Hubbard, the backup. That's a low priority for me at this point. I think there's a potential that they add somebody. Like, they should be in the business and continue to adding skill players. And, you know, we'll see if Chuba Hubbard gets through, right? That's maybe bumps up to be like a medium priority, but right now it's pretty low. Khalil Herbert with Chicago. I think Foreman complicates that. Foreman can absolutely win a job. We saw him beat out Chuba Hubbard, right? We've seen that work. So it wouldn't. Khalil Herbert's a good player, but I don't think he's immune from competition from Deontay Foreman. I have a medium priority. I would say I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they address the position again in the draft. Again, they are a team that should just be adding at the skill position players to support their backup quarterback. Excuse me, their young rookie quarterback. Cincinnati, Joe Mixon, right? There was that weird legal stuff with him. Looks like he was absolutely innocent, which is great news. He's actually ends up, I think, helping people from it. I don't know. It's kind of unclear exactly what happened. Some sort of like staged paramilitary, like, fake thing where someone actually got shot. I don't know. It was a totally bizarre situation. I hope no one ever does that to my house. I'll just say that. So we'll see there with his contract situation. Again, he's kind of eroding a bit in terms of some of his high-end skills. It's more of an aggregator at this point. The problem is he's going to make a ton of money, so he's kind of immune from competition is one of the things. Like, you know, so we'll see how that goes. Maybe he's a restructured candidate, something like that. But Chris Evans, Trayvon Williams, the backup, like, they're going to bring somebody in. Maybe it's a day two pick. This may be one of those classic day two picks where it's actually ends up being cheap, because it looks like they're buried for a year. This is almost like the A.J. Dillon day two pick, where you're like, oh, well, that person's buried for a while. He's going to fall way behind these guys that might get a job in October, right? You kind of play the long game. I could absolutely see that happening with a guy like, you know, behind a guy like Mixon. Nick Chubb, In Cleveland, no real backup there. Jerome Ford, John Kelly. So they're probably candidate to potentially add someone. So, and Chubb's getting up there too. So that'll give them some flexibility. If he begins to age, maybe they'll can move on from him if they have someone that they like in, you know, in this draft and, you know, in round three, something like that. Maybe they feel some confidence in that player. Gives them a little leverage against Chubb. Contractually going forward, something like that wouldn't surprise me. And I just don't think they're going to roll into day one with Jerome Ford as being their backup running back. Tony Pollard in Dallas. Malik Davis is the backup. Again, I think there's no chance that that holds up. So we'll see. Their big Bijan Robinson potential landing spot projection. I'm not sure he gets there. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't have a good gauge on where he's going to go because there's not a ton of teams that are like, oh, yeah, it's a great fit. So I have a really hard time seeing where he goes. I just like if he's going to be one of like the top five players in this draft, like I have a hard time seeing him get into the late 20s, even though I don't necessarily know who's going to pick him. Otherwise, if you're Pollard GM, you're hoping he gets all the way through. Right? That'd be great. He's like pushing top 10 valuations right now. Again, that feels like a saucy landing spot for a backup running back too with Pollard on a 1-year deal. Like again, that's kind of that AJ Dillon. Could he be like a discounted day two guy? I'm kind of interested in that. Again, for Dillon, it hasn't really worked out, but you saw like that huge spread in terms of draft costs between him and like Dobbins and Akers and Swift and Taylor, right? Those guys all round two guys, but AJ Dillon was going like a full round later than the last one was going off in rookie drafts. So kind of, that's one of those situations where for us kind of hammering day two running backs, like if that's one and it's like a later round two of a rookie draft, like you gotta be, we're going to be probably smashing that button. All right. Javonte Williams in Denver, Samaje Perine, medium backup situation. Again, I don't think it's super likely that they draft somebody, but Perine could be a potential week one starter. We'll see what happens. I think that's probably a committee early on, at least. Not a ton of guaranteed money there for him. So we'll see. Maybe they're a candidate to bring in someone closer to the season as well. They could be a candidate to bring in, you know, one of these guys that's out on the free agent market. Maybe they'll have more information on Javonte Williams by that point, and maybe that's a situation where, like, we need to add a veteran, and that signals to us, hey, we got to be careful on Javonte Williams, right? I could see that happening. DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery. I mean, it's a high-priority backup. I don't know who the backup is. We'll just kind of leave that laying there. I mean, yeah. Swift right now, by the way, is up to is fallen to running back 15. That feels like a pretty precipitous fall. David Montgomery is in the at running back 24, so he's creeping up while Swift's falling. I think that's a natural reaction to the free agent news. So we'll see if I don't think they'll converge, but they're going to get close to it. Like, I don't think Montgomery's going to pass him. But Montgomery, basically a plus version of Jamal Williams at this point. Like, a Jamal Williams profile that could actually, A, lead the league in rushing, and B, kick in 45 catches, where that wasn't really what Jamal Williams was slotted for last year. Aaron Jones in Green Bay. He's back, kind of locked in this year. A.J. Dillon, high priority backup. Damian Pierce, locked in at present. Again, like a 30% threat rate to him this year in the draft. Wouldn't shock me. If they have some picks, wouldn't shock me if they address the position with some day two pedigree. Mike Boone is the backup. Again, that can't be your solution at running back two. So I would expect them to add someone, some competition, whether it's in the form of veteran or in the form of someone in the draft. Indianapolis, Jonathan Taylor. High priority running back one type resume for sure for him. Zach Moss, Deion Jackson, Jake Funk, low priority situation. Don't have a clear answer to who that backup would be. Travis Etienne, Jacksonville, clear starter. Jamichael Hasty, Snoop Connor, the backups there. Hasty ahead of Connor at present, and they bring him back kind of early on, lock him up, and bring him back to be the injury way guy. Could they draft someone? Yes. Could they bring someone in? Yes. I think Jamichael Hasty is a pretty interesting, cheaper injury away guy. At present, you're already looking at him like out at running back 73. Like, that's an interesting one. That's 297 overall, so you're looking well into the 20s. Like, that could be one of the later picks you want to make at the at the position this year. Kansas City, Isaiah Pacheco, then you got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, LaMichael Pirine behind them. We'll see what they do with Jerick McKinnon. Not sure they're going to bring him back or what they're going to do. You know, we'll see what this market is for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm like, I guess, somewhat interested in Edwards-Helaire, although he's still like expensive. It's a weird thing. I don't know. Maybe expensive is a harsh word for running back 45, but you start looking around him like it's Pirine's behind him. You almost feel better about Pirine at this point, which is crazy. You go down a little bit more. Jeff Wilson, Jalen Warren, Raheem Mostert behind him. You know, so you got to kind of, you know, could he win back this job? The problem is he's just not that efficient of a receiving back anyways. I don't know. He's a tough fit because he doesn't really stand out in any way to me other than the pedigree. And, like, that's hasn't secured him at this point. So that gives you a little bit of reason to kind of step away from that, even though, right, it wouldn't shock me if he got a rebound opportunity at some point, whether it's in Kansas City or someplace else. So that's a medium priority situation at present, and we'll see. Maybe they bring someone in, and that changes the landscape of that backup job. The Chargers, Austin Eckler wants a trade, wants a contract extension, I think is really what he's after. Probably deserves it. Like they deserve to pay him just because they ripped him off the first time. Like he's crushed the value of that contract. So it's one of the rare, I've said this like a million times, this is one of the rare situations where a running back's actually like way overperformed his price. He has done it. So he deserves to be paid more. Like there's zero doubt about that. But they got to, like, they're kind of on the good side of a deal for him. Joshua Kelly, Isaiah Spiller, Larry Roundtree, the backups there. You know, we'll see. Spiller needs to step up and do something. Would be kind of my initial reaction to that backup spot. They've shown trust in Kelly beyond kind of what I believe in him. He's looked actually better this past year. So we'll watch that. Spiller needs to step up and win that backup job would sort of be the prescription here for that backfield. Cam Akers for the Rams, Kyren Williams. It's a low priority backup situation. I mean, again, they don't have a ton of ways to really adjust the position. Maybe they bring someone in free agency, something like that. But he seems like wheels up again. If you're interested in like a potential starter who could be, you know, 75-80% type workload, again, I think it's Akers. He hasn't been a huge receiving guy so far in his career. That's not really what they've done with the position. So I don't know. I don't think Kyren Williams is a threat to him at all. Like Akers looked really good down the stretch. There's not, again, I don't think there's going to be a ton of pedigree competition for him. So we'll see how this goes. But again, I think him right now, you sort of look in the range, like in that James Cook range that I was mentioning, right? You get a guy like Akers, and again, that's way behind J.K. Dobbins. Not sure I necessarily see that as him. Like, and again, Akers has risen. He was at like 28, 29, something like that. He's up to 22. And again, it's still a good chunk behind J.K. Dobbins. So I don't see them being totally all that different, to be totally honest with you. And I think you can make a case that Akers has a higher ceiling. Josh Jacobs back for a year in Vegas. Zamir White, we'll have to see what he can prove, right? Did very little last year. We'll see what he can prove this year to potentially lay claim to that job. If Jacobs is not extended off of this franchise tag, medium priority as of right now, we'll see, right? Again, if Zamir White doesn't win that job and it's kind of a quagmire like it was last year, right, it'll be a low priority job. Miami, you got Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, Gaskin, Salvin Ahmed all back. I think kind of getting this right would be nice. They're in like the 50s. So, again, they can kind of eat innings for you at worst if you get the starter right. Maybe even if it's a situation where, like, all right, you just kind of take one of them and just, you know, in the event someone's out, right, that's a decent spot. I think my bet would be on Jeff Wilson at this point. But, you know, I can either one of them, you know, if you kind of like sitting at like 50, like running back 50, like, oh, let's just try to take one of these guys if they're available. I don't think that's a terrible spot. They seem like they're a team that could add a running back. But again, they brought all these guys back. So they don't, it's, you know, I guess they could cut one of them, something like that. But it's not like they have a ton of roster spots. It's not like they're devoid of – this isn't like it's Denver where you just have two guys. Like they have four guys locked in under contract and brought all of them back. So notable there. Minnesota, we're kind of waiting on Dalvin Cook. It feels like he's gone. Madison, like, feels like he could be an heir apparent. High priority for Madison as a backup at this point. Again, he's kind of still way down the depth chart. What's interesting to me is you look at Madison, and he is at running back 36. He's just ahead of Zeke, who's at 37. He's ahead of Gainwell, who's at 38. And Foreman's at 39. So he's very clearly in, like, the injury away role. Penny's in front of him at 35. 34 is Antonio Gibson. 33 is Jamal Williams. 32 is Brian Robinson. 31 is A.J. Dillon. Those are clear guys that Madison can jump if Dalvin Cook is cut. You look up, Dillon's at 31. 30 is Algier. 29 is Connor. 28 is Herbert. Again, I think Herbert's probably overvalued there. I'd probably rather take the shot on James Connor than Herbert, really. And then you kind of get up into that James Cook, Alvin Kamara, Isaiah Pacheco range. Like, you could see, like, I don't think there's a hard ceiling there on, you know, where he could go up to. Right? You figure if Dalvin Cook got cut tomorrow, and I don't think he goes ahead of Aaron Jones, but, like, you start comparing ages, by the way. Like, he's 2.5 years younger than Rashad Penny. He's the same age as Antonio Gibson. He's 3 years younger than Jamal Williams. He's the same age as Brian Robinson. He's the same age as A.J. Dillon, right? He's 3 years younger than James Conner. Right? He's the same age as Khalil Herbert. So you start looking at these. Again, he came in young. I think that there's plenty of room for him to grow. He's only a year older than James Cook is, right? So he came in young, and you got kind of the benefit of that. Ramondre Stevenson, I still believe, might be the cheapest guy that could finish his running back one. I guess Henry could. He's right behind him. But those two guys seem like the two cheapest guys to finish his potentially running back one. It's interesting. You don't get a ton of guys that bounce back on running back one. So just look at the guys that have not landed as a running back one in their career. Taylor has, just coming down from the top. Taylor has. Breece Hall has not at two. He wouldn't be someone that I'd project to do that this year coming off an injury. McCaffrey's done it twice, so you project him, like, it would be a super unlikely occurrence for him to do it again. Kenneth Walker, does he have the receiving profile? Barkley has not done it, just missed it. Actually, it was a Christian McCaffrey touchdown pass away from being running back one as a rookie, but doesn't have that on his resume. Eckler has one. Etienne, no. Josh Jacobs, no. Chubb, I don't think, can get there. Najee Harris could. Tony Pollard, I don't know if he can get the volume to get there. Javonte Williams, I wouldn't bet on it this year anyways. And so you start looking at, like, Ramondre Stevenson, again, like, four catches a game and a touchdown a game. Like, that's in the realm of possibility, and that gets you on that, like, in the conversation of getting there. So he would be a name that I think's there. Like, Derrick Henry could conceivably get there. Again, especially with some of the receiving metrics going up last year. Again, he's 29, so it's really a year-to-year prospect with him. But it almost is like you could see a scenario where Stevenson, you know, where they draft someone. It'd be really nice if they extended him. Like, that'd be awesome for him. And then you start thinking, is, like, is he a top 8-9 back, something like that? Like, would you rather have Ramondre Stevenson or Nick Chubb, who's 2 years older? Right, him and Najee Harris are the same age. Like, I could get on board with the conversation. Again, if Stevenson got extended, like, you could talk me into, you know, feeling pretty good about that. I'd have him out of Pollard. I'd probably have him ahead of Javonte Williams if he was extended. That'll be something we'll be watching for. I think that's a big story for us running back connoisseurs here. All right, next up we've got they brought in James Robinson. Again, is that the first move, or is that the last move? Right, they do have Pierre Strong, Kevin Harris. It feels like this is probably a team that's not going to go back into the draft and draft somebody. Like, they're just kind of building some depth out there and some different options, some different types behind Stevenson. So I feel pretty good about Stevenson for this year. Alvin Kamara, we'll see what happens with his situation. Jamal Williams is the running back two there. Again, a high priority guy. Maybe they think they can get a little bit more out of him in the passing game than he was in Detroit with Swift there, with Justin Jackson there. Like, maybe they think they can get more out of him. We'll see. And we'll see the Kamara legal situation. Barkley back in a one-year deal. He's ahead of Breida. It's a low-priority bet. Like, I would imagine they're probably a candidate to potentially bring in someone on day two. Would kind of be, right, if you're kind of planning ahead for letting Barkley walk, you know, they pick at 57 and 89. That wouldn't be terribly surprising to see them draft somebody. Next up is the Jets. You got Breece Hall coming off the injury. Not super convinced that he deserves to be, like, running back one or two right now. Just more so, like, I don't want to make that bet on a guy coming off an injury. I just think that's kind of not the right direction to go. Again, there's not a bunch of guys that have a better case than him. It's probably just, hey, I'll take running back five instead of running back two. It's kind of the play that I would say there. Michael Carter's out of a night. I'm not sure who's necessarily the injury away guy right now, so I have a low priority on them. I think Michael Carter could do damage if he got a full run, like we saw him do it pretty well as a rookie, and then they brought in Breece Hall. And then, again, he was kind of banged up and didn't really get a full shot last year either when Hall was hurt. So I do think, like, his metrics are pretty solid as a two-way guy on kind of a success track from his pedigree. So I kind of like him as the injury-way guy. I think he can do more damage than Sonovan Knight can. I don't have a good take on who to put as the lead guy in Philly. So that might be, like, the newsiest thing of this. Like, you could convince me Gainwell starts week one. I've added Gainwell in a couple of spots, kind of at, like, a third-round rookie pick valuation as a kick-in in a couple of deals. Like, I want to try and get to 25% on Gainwell. It's kind of my take. So I'm making a conscious effort to do that. Again, Penny feels like he's going to get into the 30s, might even get into the later 20s, something like that. Gainwell's at 38. Again, if they start to split apart, I'm much more on the Gainwell side of that. Again, Penny's interesting, but do I want to take him? Like, do you take Penny? Like, Penny's going to jump up into the – do you want him ahead of Cam Akers? Do you want him ahead of James Cook? Like, I don't know. I think I'd rather go, like, the James Cook route. I know he can play, and, like, he's a lot younger. Like, you've got more outs. Penny feels – again, he's an extremely efficient running back. And I'm interested in that, but I'm not really interested in that at, like, running back 28. I'm more interested in that in the 40s, right? The time to buy him isn't now. It was months ago. Najee Harris, again, I'm a believer in him. Jaylen Warren is the injury away guy. It seems like the most clear there. Anthony McFarlane is there as well. But Jaylen Warren kind of earned that job last year, competed with Harris for some touches and some opportunities in their offense as well. So it wasn't just a straight backup. He did play some. Again, I like Harris. I think he's on the list of guys that could be running back one, maybe a bounce back from last year. He's banged up and stuff. I think it wasn't necessarily a great year for him, but you've seen him lead the position in receiving. And that's something, like, I can't walk away from, right? I have to be in at running back 10, right? So that would be kind of the way that I'd look at that one. McCaffrey, clear guy in San Francisco. Mitchell, Mason, TDP. Like, I think that's the order of the backups right now, but anything could happen there. So again, Mitchell's a good example of, like, what can happen to running backs that don't have pedigree, and it can go quick on them. He's down to running back 44 over at Keep Trade Cup. But that's behind, like, Damian Harris, behind Fournette, it's behind Singletary, it's behind Hunt, it's behind Foreman. Like, he deserves to be probably, like, 6-7 spots ahead of where he is. Just because the backup injury away guy in San Francisco, like, if something were to happen to McCaffrey, like, we've seen that. Like, that's a running back one type projection, right? Like, top 10 running back. Maybe not necessarily running back one overall, but that's certainly a top 12 running back potential there for a guy like Mitchell, even if it's in a shorter sample size. Seattle, Kenneth Walker, pretty clear one there. DJ Dallas, the only guy really on the roster with a claim to be in a backup at this point. I expected they would add someone to the backfield with some pedigree less than Kenneth Walker's. Wouldn't shock me either if they bring in a veteran. Tampa, Rashad White, they have Chase Edmonds is the backup there. It's a low priority situation. I think, you know, they could just kind of roll with this backfield. They've got other needs, other problems they need to address. But you could convince me that they bring in a backup to Rashad White and, you know, they kind of try to help out this pretty rough passing game. But I think White should get a crack. Again, some of his efficiency stuff you can look at and say, it wasn't really that great. I don't think their offense was really that great last year. It's probably like I don't think he's necessarily a cause of that. He's more probably a symptom, if I had to sort of put it that way. Yeah, if I had to sort of place blame. So we'll see. Should get a full opportunity. And he is up at running back 21 right now. So in that, like, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Rashad White, Cam Akers, Aaron Jones type tier. Again, I think it kind of matters the bet you want to make. Like, he's the guy if you want to kind of take a ceiling bet in there. I'm not necessarily sure, like, he's, and again, he might even be the safest. I don't know. Like, some of those guys could really get, you know, Dalvin Cook could end up in a situation that's not as good. Joe Mixon could as well. You know, Dobbins, what's his situation? Like, you could see a lot of flexibility between, like, running back 16 and running back 30. Like, I wouldn't bet, and we know, like, historically that's a place where there's a ton of movement. So I wouldn't be super sticky on, you know, running back 17. I'd feel much more, I'd feel much more like I'd rather take two bets in like the 20s than I would to pick, you know, to try and sharpshoot running back 17. Derrick Henry kind of playing on a 1-year deal at this point. Hassan Haskins, the backup, Julius Chestnut there as well. So keep those guys kind of deeper down the dial. Haskins is going to be one of the cheaper injury away guys. He's 59. Again, Hasty's like 73. So gives you an idea. Those are kind of the deeper guys at this point. And then Brian Robinson with Washington. Antonio Gibson, high priority injury away guy. If something were to happen to Robinson, we know he can kind of do the two-way thing, even if it has been a bit of a disappointment to date in his career. So that's really your rundown of the matrix here. Again, I think the keys to this, be in the volume business, but don't be, adding running back threes and fours at this point is probably not necessarily the best play, right? Prioritize tight ends and tight end premium, prioritize quarterbacks and super flex or two QBs, you know, prioritize some shots on guys you think that could maybe, Khalil Shakir would be a guy I'd be more interested in than, you know, taking a swing on Chuba Hubbard at this point. You know, like those kinds of things. Like, I'd rather kind of take a couple of situational bets instead of taking, you know, just 15 straight running backs. Like, be open to taking some situational bets. And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, then, you can cut those guys and just you're going to stream guys off the waiver wire anyways. Like, that's a roster spot you're going to do it with, right? So if Austin Hooper doesn't get signed, right, I can cut him and then add, whoever ends up being, you know, I can add Chuba Hubbard later on, right? I can add, Keonta Ingram later on. Like, I can sort of do those things, you know, those types of guys anyways, later on in the offseason. So that'll do it here for this edition. All right, until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.